want to preach to you, and so take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to John chapter 11. Once you find your place in John chapter 11, if you are able to stand, I'd like to ask you to do so. If you can't, that's fine, but those who are able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll just read a few verses, I'll let you be seated, and we'll get into the Word. Amen? John chapter 11, verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha, and it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for Foundation Baptist Church. I thank you for Pastor Stansfield, his friendship. Lord, for the decades. Lord, I just thank you for him, for his work here. Lord, be with his dear wife and his family. I pray you'd encourage him. Lord, they have things on their plate as well. God, just use them. Be with each church member and each one that's here today. I pray that you'd touch our hearts. Help us to be moved. Lord, stir our hearts. Help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll let you be seated. So Pastor Bobby asked me, he said, Brother Lance, I want you to preach something about missions. I want you to focus on missions. And maybe you're saying, Brother Lance, I've read this story. I've heard many messages on Lazarus. This is not a missions message. Well, bear with me. Amen. This is probably the most unusual or atypical missions message you've ever heard. I don't know if any of the other preachers have preached on this text here recently, but I know that you've probably all heard messages on Lazarus. And don't tune me out yet because I'm going somewhere. I believe it'll be a help to you. There's some things from this text that, man, it's a blessing to you. And I'm going to try to pack a 45-minute message into about a half an hour this morning. So if I preach fast, listen fast. Amen. And we'll just get done and see what the Lord has for us. I'm just going to give you three things and a couple bonus points along the way. The first thing I want to tell you this morning is this. It's not too late. Well, Brother Lance, what do you mean it's not too late? Well, you know, COVID and all the problems in our country. Our country has just gone too far. God has done. Nothing can ever get better here. It's too late. There's nothing that can be done. My friends, it is not too late because God is still God. Amen. The Lord's not done. The fact that we have breath in our lungs. I used to tell my guys, I'd have a young man in the military prison. He'd say, sir, he goes, God's done with me. And I said, I can prove that he's not done with you. Well, how can you do that, sir? I said, are you breathing? Yeah. Is the Lord's hand shortened that it cannot save, is what Isaiah says? If you're breathing, if you're taking in oxygen, it's not too late. Now, my dad's on. He's on in glory. Yeah. It's too late for Dad. He's already with God. It's all over. God was obviously done with him here, much to my chagrin. But nonetheless, he's gone. But we're still here. And I don't care if someone's incarcerated. I don't care if you're going through serious, I care. But if you're going through serious difficulties and hardship, God's still not done. It's not too late. Sometimes we get this mentality. It's not too late for missions. It's not too late for us to reach the world. It's not too late to reach some of the men that and the young ladies that I deal with in the prison. It's not too late. You'll see that here in the text. Even though it seems like it. The Bible says in verse number 6, for when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You're like, Brother Lance, man, that what kind of answer is that? And why would the Lord put such a thing on them? I mean, first of all, you call out to the Lord. Now, if you're like Mary and Martha, well, and even Lazarus, the Bible says in black and white here that the Lord loved him, doesn't it? I mean, we just read that in, we closed there, or finished the first reading in verse number 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when Mary and Martha call the Lord in their time of distress, when their brother's sick, and maybe you know someone that's had COVID. We've had friends that passed away, and we've seen some stuff too. Maybe you called on the Lord and it just seemed like God wasn't interested in hearing what you had to say. You ever felt like that? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we're in church this morning. Let's be honest. There's been times where I've called on God, I have, and said, God, why don't you do something? Lord, please, don't you know what's going on? And it seemed like I got the answer that Mary and Martha did. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Maybe you feel like you got an answer from the Lord that says, you're not going to die. You're like, wait a minute, I feel like I am. You're like, God, I don't understand. You say you love us. In fact, you say black and white that you love us. Why do I get that answer from the Lord? And maybe we kind of bow up inside and get kind of rebellious against God because we did not get the answer that we wanted. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're more spiritual than me, but I'd be a little upset. The Bible says in verse number 6, if that wasn't bad enough, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Not only did the Lord say, hey, you're not going to die, then he hung out for a few more days and kind of let you sweat. You ever felt like that when you call on the Lord and you're like, wait a minute, God, you know, we're supposed to like, this is supposed to be like McDonald's drive-thru. I pull up, I go to church on Sunday, you know, I get on the altar, I pray, and I ask you to do something, and you're supposed to do it. I mean, come on now. I mean, a lot of us have that mentality when it comes to the Lord. Even those that are born-again Christians, even though we're supposed to be mature Christians, our attitude is, it's a drive-through Christianity. God, you do what I ask you to do and everything will be wonderful. I'm a Christian. You're supposed to bless me. But that's not the way it works, my friends. Did you know that we're not here for us? The reason that God allows us to be here, I remember I said if you were taking an oxygen, it's not too late, but you're not here for you. I'm not here for me. We're here for Him. We are created for His glory. And when we're a born-again Christian, even though bad things happen and we go through things, are we willing to let God use us? The Bible says this in verse 7, then after that he saith to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, if you said what the disciples said to Jesus, hey, these people want to kill you, why do you want to go there? And he answered you like that. Come on now. What kind of answer is that? What do you mean if we go while it's daylight, what, daylight's burning? I mean, what are you trying to say, Lord? I mean, I'm asking you, why do you want to go? Because they want to kill you. And you're saying, hey, it's daylight. Daylight's burning. We got to go now because if you go at night, you're going to stumble upon. What, Lord, what kind of answer is that? I mean, have you ever called on the Lord and you know, maybe you were praying about something that was urgent and specific, or in this particular context, you're with people that are with the Lord, and someone else asks God to do something, and you go to the Lord, and the Lord tells you He wants to do something. You're like, God, why? Why are you doing that? You heard the request, and now you're saying, you know, you hung out for 2 days. God, I don't understand. Well, I got a news flash for you this morning. How many of y'all know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what that means? It doesn't matter if you understand. Right. I used to talk to these guys all the time. They'd say, Chaplain Lance, I don't understand. Guess what? I got good news. You do? Yeah. You don't need to understand. Well, I want to understand. Well, that's fine. But God says you don't need to. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Rather, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. That means you don't have to understand. You just need to trust God and do what He's telling you to do. Amen. The problem is we don't do that. Well, guess what? Neither did the apostles. Neither did Mary and Martha. Come on now. They're going through this. What I'm trying to show you here is bad things happen even then. And so when bad things happen now and we don't understand, it's okay. It didn't take God by surprise. And God's still God. We all know the end of this story. Well, guess what? We don't know the end of this story. God's not done. It's not too late. It's not too late for our nation. It's not too late for your lost family members. It's not too late for your family that's dealing with struggles. Listen, my family, my brother went to prison. I've got a sister that's been in and out of prison battling addictions. Listen, it's not too late. Amen. In spite of difficult days, in spite of grievous days, in spite of sad days, in spite of rotten days, it's not too late. Now, the disciples hear Jesus. The one good thing about this in verse number 11 is, "These things say he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Here's what they're thinking. The same thing some of y'all are thinking. I wish this preacher would be quiet so I can go take a nap. We're tired. We're distressed. Come on now. And we just want to take a nap. And so they're thinking like this. Well, man, if Lazarus is taking a nap, praise the Lord. Man, that's awesome. He's good news for Lazarus. It will do him well. I wish I could take a nap. Sometimes we get that way, and they're doing the same thing. And well, if he's sleepeth, he's doing well. So why? I guess that's why we could hang out for a couple days before we go, because he's doing okay. He's just sleeping. I mean, after all, the Lord did say this is not unto death, did he not? The Bible says in verse number 12, "Then said he his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, it shall do him well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep." Well, how many times have you heard someone say this? "Well, I thought." How many times you heard someone say, "Well, that's what you get for thinking"? My dad used to say that to me all the time. "But Dad, I thought." "Well, that's what you get for thinking, son." Y'all ever heard that before? Come on now. I mean, these are cliches we've all used before. Well, the Lord spoke of his death. Wait a minute. That's a contradiction, isn't it? I had an inmate come to me one time about this text, and he said, "Sir, in verse 14 and 15 it says, Jesus saith unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." That is an absolute contradiction. What you say is the uncontradictable word of God. But he said in verse 4, "This sickness is not unto death." I told you it's a contradiction, sir. How are you going to get yourself out of that one? And I laughed. I said, "Man, I got news for you." He goes, "What's that?" I said, "Unto means it's progression. There's something coming after this. Unto means the final place. This sickness is not unto death." In other words, the end of the story is not Lazarus being dead. And the end of the story is he's still alive. Yeah. That's right. Did you know the Lord has better vision than you do? And I see all these things. You know, it's 2020. We have clearer vision. All these church themes about better vision. You know, 20. I used to have better than 2020 vision. Now I'm, you know, pushing 50. I don't have better vision anymore. I don't have 20/20 vision. But God sees better than we do. And when I can't see, he does. All the disciples are seeing is he's dead. All that inmate that came to me and said, "Yeah, but sir, he's dead." That's a contradiction. No. In fact, directly in context, it wasn't unto death, because we know the end of the story. Right. But even eternally, it's not unto death, because Lazarus is still alive. This sickness is not unto death. But right now, Lazarus is dead. Well, you say, "Brother Lance, how can that be a good thing?" Would be. Listen, y'all look up here. I'm not trying to be offensive this morning. It'd be a good thing if we were all dead this morning. And I'm not talking about physical death. But if we were dead unto self and it wasn't about us. In fact, you say, "Brother Lance, what are you talking about? That sounds awfully offensive." If I want you to think about this. If we would get out of the way, what could God do? I said it this morning in Sunday school, Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ." Are we really? Or is life a whole lot about us? I am. I'm selfish. I'll be honest with you. Maybe that'll make Pastor reconsider supporting us. I care about myself. I kind of like my comfort. I like my air conditioning. Come on now. I like to have a decent income to keep me going down the road. Come on now. I like to have decent clothes to wear, and I love good food. I like a, but listen, if we're not careful, life becomes all about me and my comfort and my life. But that is not what we're here for. I wonder, by the way, and Lazarus is not special compared to us, although there's a story written about him, which is pretty neat. But I just believe this. I want to run around, but I know they're videoing. Listen. Did you know? I just believe that God comes to you and me the same way that He did Lazarus and says, are you willing to give your life for me? Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God says, are you willing to give yourself? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, what we all talk about missions, they first gave of themselves to the Lord. I wonder, if God talks like that to the New Testament Christians and He talks like that to all of us, don't you think the day came and maybe Lazarus in his personal Bible study, he says, hey, Lazarus, are you mine? Lord, you know I love you. You willing to give yourself for me? Are you willing to give your life for the gospel? Maybe I'm wrong, but I just believe that Lazarus said, absolutely, Lord. And He says, put your seatbelt on, son. I don't think Lazarus knew or understood what was going on, but I think he said, God, you do what you need to do. Lazarus is dead. And it gets worse. Listen to what he says to the disciples. This is now, come on, maybe you've never got answers like this from God, but I sure felt like I got some of these sometimes. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Not only wasn't I there, but I was glad I wasn't there. What do you mean? Lord, you love Mary and Martha and Lazarus. What do you mean you're glad you weren't there? How can you say that? And you said he wasn't going to die, and now you're saying he's dead. And your mind as a Christian is just going, boom! God, I don't understand. Hey, it's not too late. Brother Lance, you don't understand my situation. It's too late. No, my friend, it's not. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Oh, I forgot that part. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Well, God, if you wanted me to believe you, why didn't you just do what I asked you to do? You don't think the apostles were thinking the same thing that I am thinking when I read this? But Lord, if you wanted us to believe you, why didn't you just say, hey, Mary, Martha, I got the message. Hey, Lazarus is okay. I would have believed just fine. Come on now. When you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, we had prayer this morning for some different folks in the church and things, and we had prayer requests. And Lord, if you want me to believe, just do what we ask you to do. And we'll be like, praise the Lord. God answered prayer. I believe just fine. But the Lord says, not only did I not do what they wanted me to do, not only did I not do when they wanted me to do it, but I'm glad I wasn't there to do it, and because I want you to believe. What? Did you know we're not the only ones that get frustrated with God? Brother Lance, we're not supposed to get frustrated with God. Well, I know that and you know that, but we all do. Look at me, my God-given eyeball this morning. We come into church pretending like we're all spiritual. We're not spiritual. The only thing spiritual about us is Christ. Amen. That's why we need to yield to Him. That's why we need to be dead to self and say, God, it's about you, not me. Even when I don't understand, even when I'm uncomfortable, even when you tear down my prison and my kids are gone and my dad's gone and I'm homeless. Yeah. And I'm joking a little bit, but you know what I'm saying. Right. God's still God, and it's still not too late. I don't know what God's going to do, but I don't need to know what God's going to do. I just need to do what God wants me to do.
That's right. Amen.
Remember, we talked about Thomas this morning already in Sunday school. If you missed it, well, I guess it'll... Whew. But then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also. Let us also go that we may die with him. Why not? You ever bent like that with God? Well, Lazarus is already dead, Pastor Bobby. Let's just all die. Well, the community hates this. We may as well just keep making them mad. Come, you ever get that way with God? Yeah, we pick on Brother Thomas, doubting Thomas, but the reality is this. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. We'll talk about it now. The reality is we all doubt God. Especially when we think it's too late. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days out already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. You say, Brother Lance, what's the significance of the measurements? Well, it's arguable, but you know, some theologians like to argue, scholars. But roughly a mile and a half, some argue it's more or less. But bottom line is this, it's not so far that he couldn't have gone. That's the point. I mean, you and I could walk a mile and a half in just a little bit. He could have gone. It wasn't that far. It's not like they're asking some huge thing, which just complicates it and makes everybody more aggravated. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Mean old God, why did Jesus just ignore you and now your brother's dead? Can you hear the comforting? Now, y'all have gotten comfort like that from the world before, haven't you? Hey, aren't you a Christian? Why don't you just pray about it? How come God didn't just take care of that for you? You know you get the same response. In fact, some of us quit going to church because of it. If I didn't tell you, it's not too late though. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, and went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think she said it like that. I'll tell you why. You know, I told you I lost my dad. It'll be 2 years on the 28th of September. My dad was 70. He was in good health. He pastored for almost 28 years over here in Post Falls. The last time I saw him was the day after my daughter's wedding in June of 2018, and I remember hugging him and kissing his stubbled face. When I got the phone call that my dad was gone, do you know what my response was? Lord, if thou would have been here, my dad wouldn't have died. Why? I believe Mary, she ran out there, or Martha. I believe she was angry. Come on now. You say, well, Lance, how do you know that? That's speculation. Because she's a human being like you and me. And she called Jesus ahead of time. And he let her down in her mind. Don't you tell me, well, I'm so spiritual, I wouldn't be upset. I would trust God. No, you wouldn't. Master, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I really believe that she said it like that because that's how I would have said it. Here's Martha in the face of Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. They'd be like, oh man, I got so many of those answers when my dad died. Well, we'll see your dad again in heaven. I'm serious. I know that's not spiritual, but I just wanted to punch him in the nose. You didn't lose your dad, Jack. And Jesus is saying, your brother will rise again. I can see it. I mean, you can see her. She's just angry. What do you mean? Because you let him die? Even if they're super close, which I believe they were. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. You said, you really think she said it like that? Absolutely. I know that, Lord. Kind of like when you're going through a hard time and you come to church and Pastor Stansfield gets up and he preaches the word and you're like, well, I know that. That ain't helping me. I mean, I know you're supposed to preach the word, but I've already heard that. I already know those things. Come on, preacher. You're supposed to help me. Hopefully this is connecting here because we've all been here. Now, Brother Lance, this is not a missions message. Oh, yes, it is. Hold on. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me. That's the second time. In verse 15 it said, why? Because I want you to believe. In verse 25, he that believeth in me, just trust me. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, verse 26 contains a question. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Very simple question, three words. Believest thou this? Here's Martha. Are you serious? He's dead. How can you ask me that, Lord? Yes, I believe that. And he believed that. But he's dead. He's right there. How can you have the audacity to ask me if I believe he'll never die when he's dead? You say, Brother Lance, you believe that that was her attitude? Absolutely. I'll tell you why. Look at the answer she gives him. By the way, she didn't answer the question. He said, do you believe if your brother's, he'll never die if he believes in me? Do you believe that? That's really what the question, I'm not trying to rephrase the Bible, but that's what he was saying. Whoever believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. You didn't answer the question, sweetheart. You know, come on now. We all do the same thing. Well, don't you love God? Well, and we start squirming and we, well, I go to church and... Do you guys get the scenario here? Sometimes we just read through this story and we don't think about it. She didn't want to answer the question. No, how? No, I don't believe he'll never die because he's dead. Yes. Preacher, I know he's going to raise again in the last day, but he's dead. And I'm hurting and you weren't there when I called you. Well, God must have lost touch. Well, that's the second point. The Lord has never lost touch. In fact, he understands you when you don't understand you. The number one answer I get from military inmates and women when they get in trouble, when I talk to them about their situation, I'll say, how in the world did you get wrapped up in that? Or, man, how did that happen? Or, why did you make that decision? Or, why did you do that? You know what the number one answer is? I don't know. Wait a minute. Then how do we expect to understand God when we don't even understand ourselves? God's not lost touch. He knows better than you do about you. He knew everything that Martha was thinking. He knew everything that she was feeling, and he understood it. Martha got upset. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way. So basically, she was like, I'm done with this. Yes, I believe you're the Christ, and I know that he's going to raise in the last day, but you know what? I'm just done with you. I can just see her doing that. You're like, Brother Lance, I think you're just trying to read all that stuff into it. No. I've done too much counseling. This is exactly how human beings react to God, especially when they're going through bad things, that God has not given them the answer they wanted. Come on now, we are all the same way. And we all, maybe know we, because we're good independent Baptist Bible believers, that we would never say, well, God doesn't understand. But in our little brains, we're all thinking, God, you just don't understand what I'm going through. Now, I know that's bad theology, but we still think it, don't we? When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. I didn't remember hearing that, but hey, yeah, I'm done. Maybe you can break through, you know? As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her. And when they saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. So all the people, listen, a lot of people are watching her. Y'all look up here. A lot of people are watching us. The people in your neighborhood, the people in this community, they're watching this church right here. They're watching each one of us and our testimony and how we live and how we talk, how we respond to crises, how we react to COVID, how we react to the election. They're watching, just like they are watching. Then Mary, when she was come to the where Jesus was and saw him. Listen, she fell down where? At his feet. Guess what she said unto him? Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Wow, boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Didn't Martha say the same thing? Mm-hmm. I want you to notice something, though. We know, I suppose it's a little bit of supposition there, but we see Martha's response. We see how she engaged Christ, didn't say she was at his feet. And then it said that she went her way, continued doing what she wanted, marching off in what I think is obvious frustration. But then we see Mary, and although she feels this, people tell me that all the time. Well, Chaplain Lance, Brother Lance, you know, you don't know what I'm feeling. Well, true. We all have similar emotions. If you don't, well, then you're called a sociopath, and you don't care about things. And I mean, and I've dealt with some of them too. But most of the time, God understands her feelings, her sentiments were the same. But there's a huge difference between Mary and Martha. And I would submit this to you, that your position in front of an almighty God absolutely matters.
That's right.
When she saw Jesus and she fell at his feet, Master, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. You see, Brother Lance, there's no difference. She didn't get her brother back, neither did Martha. But I challenge you with this thought. I think she got something that her sister didn't.
That's right.
You say, Brother Lance, what are you talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you look a little bit further in the text, and you've read this story. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And then we see remember what I said, the second point? He's not lost touch. This proves it. John 11:35. How many of y'all have that memorized?
Right.
I challenge you to memorize it right now. I remember when I was a kid. How many have a memory verse? John 11:35, Jesus wept. We say it as fast as we can because it's two words and it's not that difficult. And we're like, man, check me out. I memorized scripture. Well, yeah, but that's really an insignificant verse. No. Jesus wept, not because, y'all look up here. I don't believe for 2 seconds that he wept because Lazarus was dead. You know why? Because he wasn't. This sickness is not unto death. Look, Lazarus is dead, but it's not unto death, and that's still true. Might be an oxymoron, might be a paradox to you, but it's true nonetheless. He wasn't crying for Lazarus. He was crying, this whole text talks about faith. I want you to believe. I want you to trust me when you don't get what you want, when it looks bad. When you call me and I don't answer the way you think I need to answer, I've got bigger plans. Do you trust me anyway? I want you to believe. And he had people around him that surrounded him that did not trust him, and it grieved him. And she was hurting because of it. Has it ever occurred to you that you might be hurting because you're not trusting God? Jesus wept, and I can see it now. Brother Cardoza, I can see it. The tears of God dripping down his beard. Jesus had a beard, by the way. Guess where those tears landed if she was at his feet? Can you imagine being anointed with the tears of God? She got a comfort and a consolation her sister did not get. Because the reality is this, a lot of Christians are in his face, but very few are really at his feet. And you might be feeling the same thing, but your position in front of God and your attitude with God makes all the difference in the world. She got compassion. She got comfort. Look what happened. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. No. Now, I'm not a King James Bible corrector by any means. Because I believe that verse is in there on purpose to help us realize how blind the world is. Because they all thought he was crying for Lazarus, but he was crying for Mary. How he loved her, and he was grieved because she was hurting. Did you know God hurts when you hurt? God knows it's not too late. He knows he hasn't lost touch, but we have that attitude that we think he has. I believe it grieves him, and I believe he'll weep with you. Some of those powerful words in the Bible are Jesus wept. And some of them said, could not this man, boy, does this not sound like the world today? And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind could have caused even this man should not have died? Hey, where's your God now? I thought, hey, we've seen this guy do. All you church people down there at Foundation, you know, I thought God's supposed to be this big, mighty God that does all these amazing things. How come God doesn't just fix it for you? Huh? You ever get those kind of responses from people? Same thing right here. But did you not remember what I told you about Lazarus? When the Lord probably had that little conversation with him, how much he let him know ahead of time and not, I don't know. If it's anything like me, he probably didn't know a whole lot. He just said, Lord, I'm yielded. You can do whatever. And God said, put your seatbelt on. And by the way, I'm kind of still just kind of staying seatbelted because who knows what God's going to do in the next year or two. But Lazarus is alive and well. He's in the arms of Jesus. In fact, I think he got mad when the Lord called his name. Why are you calling me back? I'm almost done. Y'all bear with me. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself. Again, I really believe it's because the lack of, because again, look where that answer is. It's right after the world is mocking and not believing. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. I'm going to tell you, men stink. I work in the prison. I work in the prison. And especially this kind of thing. Definitely stink. But you know what? God takes care of smelly stuff. If God can use Pastor Stansfield,
amen.
Then God can use me. Amen. You know why? We all like to think we're, and I'm picking on him. We all think we're something, but you know what? Do I need to remind us that we're not? I'm not trying to put anyone down. You all are fine people, but you know what? We're humans that can't do it, and we need God. Thank God he takes care of that stuff. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? By this time, if you didn't pick up on it, in verse 39, Martha's back there standing there again. And she's the one that said to him, hey, God, this smells. This whole thing smells. My brother definitely smells. Oh, that's right, because you hung out for a couple days, and now it's been 4 days, and now he's really bad because, oh, that's right, because you ignored my prayer. Come on now, you see Martha back there. Why do you think she's just being blunt? Jesus saith unto her, his response to her once again is, didn't I tell you this? Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe that thou shouldest see the glory of God? What he's telling her is, Martha, put on your seatbelt. Are you sitting down? You better sit down. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Once again, the reason God does everything is so lost people will trust him, by the way, and so that Christians along the way have faith that grows too, whether it be for faith promise or reaching a lost one or reaching your community or letting God do what God does even when you don't like what he's doing. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I heard a great preacher say one time, he said, if he hadn't said Lazarus in front of that, every grave would have opened. I believe it too. It's a good thing he specified Lazarus. And I can see it now, Brother Lazarus hanging out with all the saints and the apostles in Abraham's bosom. Jesus hadn't died yet, you know. Were you kidding me? I'm not hurting anymore. I'm in the Spirit with all the saints of old, and I'm getting ready to go see God the Father. Why are you calling me Lord? Hey, remember when I told you to sacrifice yourself? Well, you might have got a little blessing out of it, but you're coming back, Jack. I don't think Lazarus had a choice. Lazarus, come forth. Things happen. Come on now. The Lord called on him and he came forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And I don't know what that looks like, but he didn't come walking out like a mummy. He didn't come with grave clothes dripping. Now, how that looked, I don't know. I don't know if he just kind of, I don't know, levitation. What, maybe he hopped out. I don't know. But I can imagine the look on the face of the people. Here's this man that was bound hand and foot, and he's out. And Jesus says, you better let him go because he'd like to breathe. Can you imagine the look of the faces? Can you imagine the look on Martha's face? Yeah, but Lord, why'd you have to do all that? I mean, why couldn't you just answer my prayer? Yes, praise the Lord. I'm blown away. My mind is literally blown that my brother's standing here and they're unwrapping him. Why couldn't you just do it when I asked you? Why all the drama? Come on now, that's how we would be with Jesus too. Remember what I said, this is going to be a missions message? Did you know God has bigger plans than you? It's not about you. I already said that once. Well, here it goes. Here's the missions part. Because here's the last point. He is the Lord. Not was. Not used to be. Still is. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face which was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Is that any different than the vilest offender that's locked up in the prison, that's dead unto sin, and God calls out? Why? Because someone sent a loudmouth preacher to go in and share the gospel with someone that was dead, can come forth and be loosed and set free.
Amen.
That would have never happened if Jesus hadn't, in their opinion, ignored their prayer. But the reality, Jesus said, oh, I'm going to answer your prayer. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, I'll do mighty things, but it's not how you think I should do it. You put your seatbelt on because you don't have a clue. Just sit back and watch what I do. By the way, you heard me say drama. God's not dramatic. But he does love each and every person, including people that aren't you. And contrary to popular belief, we are not the center of the universe. It's not about Chaplain Lance. It's not about Pastor Bobby. It's not about Chaplain Doug. It's all about, hey, that lost soul. That come on now. It was not just the immediate family. It was not just the extended family. It wasn't just the community. Now it was 4 days later and they had all come in. And God said, I love them too. And I want to pay for their sins. And I want to change their lives. But a Christian needs to die in the flesh so that I can be glorified. Is that any different than what he asks of us? And verse number 45, here it is. Then a couple of the Jews which came to Mary. Is that what it says? Come on, y'all reading your Bible? Verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did. What are those last three words? Believed. But some of them went their way. But the story's not over. I told you it's about missions, and that's just the beginning of missions. Didn't Jesus say, Samaria, Judea? I know I've got to wrap up. Listen. Verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? This man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe. There's that word again, on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, came the same year and said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider it that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people. He had no clue what he was saying, but maybe he did. And that the whole nation perisheth not. And this spake he not of himself, but being a high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. Did you know it's bigger than you? It's bigger than Coeur d'Alene. It's bigger than Idaho. It's bigger than church planting in the Northwest. Did you know it's about the entire nation? But hold on, he's still not done. It's kind of like a commercial, you know. Hold on, there's more. And not for that nation only. This is missions. This is one of the first men that gave physically his life for the cause of missions. And not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were what? Scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. My friends, because one man died to self and said, Lord, my body means nothing. I'll do what you want. I'll go where you want. Did you know what? The reason that the cross, the reason the stage was set for the cross of Calvary that so you and I could be saved happened because Brother Lazarus said, God, take me and do what you want. Talk about missions. This morning, I don't know if you're born again or not. If you're saved, why haven't you said, Lord, here am I. Take me. We might not be a Lazarus. Hopefully he doesn't like take our life and give it back to us again because that'd be pretty wild. But are you willing to say, Lord, here's my life because it's bigger than me? Even when it's frustrating and even when you've called on God and things aren't happening the way you want and you're maybe even angry at the Lord. It's not too late. Trust Jesus. Trust Him through your missions program. Trust Him to reach your community. But listen, you got to die to self. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed as the pianist plays for us. It's about 12:15. I know I preach a little long today. Maybe you're usually on the way home by now. But listen, whatever God wants to do in your heart today, would you let Him do it? Heavenly Father, I thank You for today. Lord, maybe there's someone here that's struggling because they're going through things. Lord, we're not the first ones to go through difficulties. God, I pray that You would help each and every one that's here. Lord, I pray that You'd help each church member. You know their struggles. Lord, the things that seem like contradictions, Lord, they're never contradictions with You. God, I pray that You'd help us to see Your light. Help others to see Your light through us. Lord, may our reaction to what You do or don't do, may it never be used of the world to discourage someone from trusting You. I pray that we might see many believe on You for how we are and how we allow You to use us. Lord, we love You today. We thank You for Your goodness and grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If we